car and the window's cracked. Never, ever leave your dog inside a parked car. Your dog idolizes you. In warm weather, keep him safe at home.
For more information, visit PETA.org.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-WMFO. Write it down. Punch it into your phone. Memorize it. Give me a call. It's more interesting when you don't have to listen to me talk nonstop for 2 hours. We love diverse points of view. And for those of you wondering, where is Shea Spillane? This has been a week so far. I'm just going to say that. This has been a week so far. Monday night found me out at a beer dinner with Chris Earle. I'm still recovering from that. Last night I was out with my coworkers. I've had no time to do show prep. Shea Spillane is still recovering from her partially torn meniscus. So please keep her in your thoughts. She'll be back with us just as soon as she can. And I will hopefully not find myself behind the eight ball once again when it comes to doing show prep. I've got a full show for you tonight. We're going to talk about a lot of fun things tonight. But we're not going to do the usual news and hear, you know, did you hear and all that kind of stuff. It's just impossible for me to manage it solo. For those who don't know, this is it. This is me. There is no one else in the studio right now. It's just me. I'm my own producer. I have to log everything. There are a lot of buttons that get pressed and a lot of things going on simultaneously. And it's a little bit tricky to go through half a dozen news stories and log everything and maintain a train of thought. So what we're going to do tonight is I'm going to spend some time talking about things that matter. And before I get into that, periodically on the show, I like to do this, and I think tonight is as good a night as any to do it. And that is to sort of reaffirm my commitment to you in the audience as to what this show is about and why I'm here. If you are a longtime listener, you know all this stuff. I'll keep it brief. If you are a new listener, if this is your first time, or you haven't been listening for that long, and you're like, who is this crazy guy? This is basically what the show is about. I am not here. The big picture is not here to tell you how to think. I will veer into that territory from time to time, and you're more than welcome to call me out on it. 855-915-9636. But this is not a left-leaning show. This is not a right-leaning show. This is a politically oriented show, but it is not a politically motivating show. I have no stake whatsoever in your vote or how you decide to live your life. My basic philosophy is live and let live. I like to see the country provide opportunity and equality for everyone. And that's been my stated position here for a very, very long time. So when I talk about issues, when we talk about things on the show, it is not with an idea of getting you to think a certain way. I am not here to persuade you into adopting a certain view on any given issue. I am here to persuade you, and I will freely admit this, I am here to persuade you to broaden your sources, to broaden your understanding of what's happening in the world, and to get you to look at the facts. And that's what we do. That's what Shea does. That's what I do. That's what Lisa Nichols did. That's what Brian Joyce did when he was a co-host here. We spend a lot of time reading. And we don't spend a lot of time reading things that we agree with. We spend a lot of time reading everything to try and tease out the facts behind and beyond all of the emotional reaction that we get to everything. And this is the majority of what is put in front of you and passed off as news content. It's not news. It's not journalism. It is opinion. And it is emotion. And it is designed to get a particular emotional reaction out of you. And in a lot of cases, it is preaching to a particular choir, which happens to align with whatever the advertising goals are for CNN, Fox, MSNBC, whoever you're talking about. They all play the same game. We have no advertisers. I am beholden to nobody here other than you, the listeners. And because of that, I'm free to say whatever I want, and I'm free to take whatever position I want, and I'm free to do the craziest thing of all, which is to just tell you the facts and where to find the facts so that you can make up your own mind. That is the most important thing that could ever come out of our time together here every Wednesday night from 7 to 9 is for me to put some facts in front of you that help you make sense out of what's going on around us. Not because I want you to think a certain way, not because I want you to come to a certain conclusion, but because I simply want you to be informed. The single most important thing to make our republic work, and we will remember that this is a republic, and we will remember Benjamin Franklin walking out of Independence Hall in Philadelphia, and a woman walking up to him and saying, "What kind of government have you given us, Mr. Franklin?" Mr. Franklin's response, a republic, if you can keep it. And that is one of the most telling, I love that statement. A republic, if you can keep it. Well, part of the way that we keep it is to get to the facts, to get to the truth behind stories. Not opinion, not what we want something to be, not how we feel about it, but what the actual facts of the story are. That is what The Big Picture endeavors to do every week. Yes, we do veer off into advocacy from time to time. It's well known that I think fireworks should be legal in Massachusetts, but we try not to have that be the whole show. Every now and again, yeah, you're going to catch me interjecting a little bit of personal opinion on things. And over time, you're going to figure out what my particular slant is. I think you'll find that I'm far more centrist and moderate than a lot of people who sit behind these microphones these days. That makes me boring and unemployable to the national media because I am not a rabble-rouser. I have this silly allegiance to the facts, which really nobody seems to want anymore. Although people tune into the show every week, and I know that there is a huge audience out there that is looking for someone just to explain. Just explain to me what's going on. Don't give me your take. Don't tell me how angry I should be. Don't tell me what I should be outraged about. Just tell me what the heck happened. That's why we're here. That's what The Big Picture will endeavor to do every week. And I'm happy to renew that commitment to you tonight. So let's start tonight with something that you need to know immediately. If you are taking blood pressure medication or if you are taking medication to prevent the recurrence of a heart attack, there has been an FDA recall that was issued on Monday and immediately fell out of the headlines. I don't know if you've heard about it or not. Didn't stick around that long. Here's the deal. If you are taking Valsartan. This is the drug, Valsartan, for high blood pressure or for heart disease. Three brands have been recalled by the Food and Drug Administration. You are not going to like the reason why. If you're taking this, don't throw the pills out. Don't stop taking them immediately, but you're not going to like the reason why. Valsartan, sold by Solco Healthcare, Major Pharmaceuticals and Teva Pharmaceuticals Industries have been recalled because they bought these pills from China and they may contain NDMA, which is a possible human carcinogen. I told you were not going to like why they've been recalled. These pills, Valsartan, made by Major Pharmaceuticals, or marketed, I should say, they were made in China. Valsartan, marketed by Major Pharmaceuticals, Solco Healthcare, and Teva Pharmaceuticals, has been recalled by the FDA because it may contain a human carcinogen, NDMA. The FDA study, investigation, allegedly revealed trace amounts of this. Possibly not enough to hurt you, but you probably, if somebody tells you, hey, there's carcinogens in that, you probably don't want to put it in your body, is my guess. So if you are taking Valsartan, don't stop taking it. Call your doctor, because you can't just stop taking blood pressure medication. You can't just stop taking your heart medication. Bad things will happen. Don't be afraid of this. Don't freak out about it. Call your doctor, and your doctor will tell you what to do. And they're working very hard right now to get good Valsartan into the country. They're working very hard to find alternatives for people who don't want to take Valsartan for understandable reasons. But it may take a couple of days for that to happen. The FDA is really, really super strict on this. Now, I'm not saying that to apologize for the presence of a possible carcinogen in your pills, but I am saying that because the amount that's in there may be one of those situations where you're going to take a million of these things before you would even have the slightest chance of developing cancer. And the FDA, being as scrupulous as it is, as thorough as it is, wants to make sure that none of that gets into you. So this is that higher standard of drug safety that we have in this country. The flip side of this is, why are these pills being manufactured in China? And why are pills manufactured in China containing a known human carcinogen? Why is any company still allowing their pills to be manufactured in China? In my eyes, here's where I go from facts to opinion, by the way. In my eyes, if this kind of thing happens once, that's it. You know, it's one thing to make a pill and the dose of the active ingredient is off by a little bit. It's one thing to have a bad batch of medication come out. It's one thing to have the wrong label on the bottles that go out. Those are everyday manufacturing inconsistencies that you can look at and you can say, you know what, this isn't ideal. I don't appreciate this, but I understand something went wrong in your manufacturing process, and I can live with that. A known carcinogen in the pill is a different story entirely. And China is another story entirely, because what do we know about China? What do we know about counterfeit goods coming out of China? What do we know about the way that China likes to cut corners when they manufacture things? We have seen this over and over and over again. Some of you may remember the formaldehyde in the flooring from Lumber Liquidators, China. You may have heard about counterfeit toothpaste and counterfeit pet food coming into the country that can harm people, China. We see this over and over and over again. And the question to me is, with Americans paying as much as they are for pharmaceuticals, we pay more for our pills than anybody else in the world. Part of it is due to these FDA standards and the fact that the FDA rejects so much of the medication that's made. It has to be to the highest possible standard. And we pay a premium for that. So we're already paying a premium for this. Why is this stuff being made in China? Other than these pharmaceutical companies are looking for a way to up their profits. And the easiest way to up your profits is to manufacture your product in a place that has the lowest production cost imaginable. Well, there are ways you keep those production costs low, and sometimes that involves skimping on ingredients. There was one doctor quoted in the New York Times on this article who said he's afraid to prescribe anything now because he doesn't trust the medicine coming out of China, and he can't tell what's made in China and what's not anymore. That's a problem. And this may be one of a handful of doctors in this country who feel this way. I don't know. If you're getting quoted in the New York Times, though, generally speaking, you represent a fairly broad range of view and a fairly broad attitude. So if we have doctors who are now afraid to prescribe medication because it might be made in China, and maybe there's a human carcinogen in it, why is the FDA still allowing any of these companies to manufacture their medicines in China? And the FDA has said they're going to investigate how this is made. The Chinese pharmaceutical manufacturer, Zhejiang Huahe Pharmaceuticals, has already apologized and said, we don't know how this happened and we're going to investigate. probably shouldn't be making the stuff in the first place. With what we spent and with what we expect, we should be thankful that we have the FDA to make sure that things like this don't get into our medicine supply. But they have. This is a product that is in a lot of homes right now. So if you are taking this drug, if you are taking Valsartan, manufactured by major pharmaceuticals, Solco Healthcare, or Teva Pharmaceuticals, call your doctor. Tell them, I've got the stuff in my house. I hear I don't want to be taking this. What can I do? Please get me another medication or let me know that my batch is safe. By the way, this does not necessarily apply to every single pill that was produced, every single pill that is in circulation. Don't freak out. That's rule number one. When you hear the news, when you hear the fact, there is a human carcinogen potentially in Valsartan, don't freak out. When you hear that, what you do is you say, oh, okay, wait a minute, what? Why? You just said there's a carcinogen in my blood pressure medication. What you do is you go and you go to the FDA website, see what they recommend, or you call your doctor. Find somebody who has the information that you need to make the right decision for you. And in the bigger picture, feel free to question why China is even making this stuff. In national news, the president, hot off his whirlwind tour of Europe and our NATO allies, who may or may not still be our allies, headed over to Helsinki to have a little sit down with Vladimir Putin. The president came out of this sit down with Putin, which lasted for a couple of hours, just Putin, just Trump, just their translators, no one else in the room, just the four of them. Came out of this meeting, held a joint press conference where he basically said, nope, Putin says they weren't involved in election hacking, so I believe him. That's what our president said on Monday, standing next to Vladimir Putin. Putin said they didn't do it. Good enough for me. Donald Trump. He thought this was a win, and it turned out not to be a win. It turned out to upset a lot of people, including our intelligence agencies, who have spent hours, a lot of man hours, millions, I'm assuming, in taxpayer dollars investigating what Russia did in 2016. And it is a given at this point. It should be a given at this point, no matter what your political stripe is. Unless you are a member of the FSB, which is Russia's successor to the KGB. Unless you are a member of the FSB or a Russian oligarch interested in plausible deniability, it should be your belief that Russia was involved in hacking during the 2016 U.S. election. That Russians bought political ads on Facebook to try and influence the outcome of the 2016 election. These are facts. I don't care how much you hate the president. I don't care how much you love Donald Trump. These are facts. Russia interfered with our presidential election. Now, here's another fact that no one in the United States is talking about, which is that we interfere with Russia's elections all the time. Okay? Back during the Iraq War, when everybody was asking, you know, how do we know that Saddam Hussein has chemical weapons? The answer that I always went back to, because it was true, is we have the receipts from when we sold them to him. Our government sold chemical weapons to Saddam Hussein in the 1980s so he could make war with the Iranians. And then after the war, he dumped almost all of them in the Tigris River. And they probably wouldn't have been good anyway. But when that chemical weapons question came up, and people be like, where'd you get this idea that Saddam had chemical weapons? Well, we have the receipts. They're sitting in a classified box somewhere in the Virginia area. And if you have the right clearance, you can go in and see them. We had the receipts. We didn't know if he still had the weapons, but we knew that once upon a time he'd had the weapons. It is the same thing with the Russian interference in the 2016 election. It happened. Do not try and deny that it happened. We have the receipts from Facebook, for the ads that they bought. Do we have definitive proof that Russia hacked the Democratic National Committee and handed that information over to WikiLeaks? No. We do not have definitive proof that those things happened, but we have a large volume of evidence that suggests that it did. Probably enough evidence to win a conviction in a court of law. Enough evidence that Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller felt comfortable issuing an indictment against 12 Russian intelligence agents last week. And for those of you who follow the courts and the law and what goes on, we know these days, nobody is issuing an indictment unless they're going to win. A lot of people walking free on a lot of different stuff because they managed to conceal it well enough that prosecutors don't think you can convince a jury beyond a reasonable doubt. That is not the case with Russia in the 2016 election. Russia interfered in our election. We interfere in theirs. Okay? We interfere in things all over the world. They interfere in things all over the world. This is what intelligence agencies do. This is what they're there for. We poke and prod and antagonize because it gives our intelligence agencies something to do. Some of them do it for kicks. Some of it do it for fun. Some of them do it for political agendas. But they're doing it all the time. So Donald Trump goes into a room with Vladimir Putin after Robert Mueller has indicted 12 Russians for interfering in the U.S. election. Having seen all of the evidence, because he's the president, he gets access to everything. Having seen all of the evidence that Russians were involved in hacking the 2016 election, in spreading propaganda, in disseminating information that they should not have had access to. He's seen all this. Donald Trump walks into a room with Vladimir Putin and says, "Hey, you, Putin, my man, what are you doing over there? You interfered in our election. We can't have this. That's bad." And Vladimir Putin sits there and says, "No, we didn't do that." And Donald Trump says, "Oh, okay, my bad. Sorry. Let me just tear up this intelligence report that I have over here that says you guys did it, because you know what, Vlad? Your word is good enough for me, Donald Trump." I don't know if that's exactly the way that it went down, but that's certainly the way that it looked during the joint press conference after their meeting in Helsinki on Monday. And rightfully, there was a tremendous amount of outrage about this on both sides of the aisle. Now, you expect anything Donald Trump does, the Democrats are going to be all over him, and CNN and MSNBC are going to be all over him. Donald Trump could go cure cancer tomorrow, and MSNBC would be on the air telling you why that's a bad thing. They'd find some reason to make that bad, because that's their job. That's what MSNBC does. MSNBC plays to its base and antagonizes Donald Trump. CNN, maybe you get the benefit of the doubt, but really, you don't. But it wasn't just the usual suspects that were coming out and saying, what the heck have you done? His speech was called treasonous by one U.S. Former U.S. government official. Republicans came out and condemned him because the president is standing there next to Vladimir Putin, siding with Vladimir Putin over the United States Intelligence Service, over our FBI, over our CIA, over Congress. They say, "Oh, you know what? Putin said he didn't do it. He's good enough for me." So Trump walks away from this thing thinking he's done great, you know, thinking everything's perfect. Lands in Washington, and he can't understand why everybody is up in arms about this, can't understand why everyone is freaking out about this, doesn't understand that you just made yourself look like Putin's puppet by saying, "I'm siding with you over all this intelligence information. I'll take your word for it, Vlad." There is an interesting detail about all of this that I cannot remember which outlet reported it, because I've been reading everyone for the last 48 hours. It may have been ABC. It may have been CBS. I want to say it was one of the two of them. But some journalist, and real journalist, not a blogger, not somebody who writes for the Huffington Post or Forbes or Gizmodo, but an actual journalist had spoken to several sources within the Trump administration and basically said, what the heck is going on here? What is this guy doing? And I don't care how much of a diehard Trump supporter you are. I don't care how much you believe this guy is playing some kind of clever long game in this thing with Putin. That was a bad look. That was a mistake. That was a huge mistake. We have not seen a United States president make a mistake like that on the global stage in my lifetime. The closest thing that you can come to is George Bush Sr. throwing up on the Japanese prime minister. But that was a different story entirely. The guy had been flying all over the world for 3 weeks and he was sick as a dog and shouldn't have been at that dinner anyway. That's the last time a sitting U.S. president, that was the 90s. That was the early 90s. That's the last time a U.S. president screwed up that badly. Before that, I can't think of one in my lifetime. So everybody's freaking out about this. And everybody's all over the president about this. And somebody at ABC or CBS talks to people within the Trump administration, trying to get to the bottom of this, trying to say, what the heck is going on with this president? And somebody off the record, as they always do, offered up a very key piece of information. And this is a key piece of information because this helps you understand, maybe, where President Trump is coming from. I don't know that it does entirely. Because I see President Trump as this sort of walking stream of consciousness. He says what he says in the moment and then goes off and sees somebody else and says something else entirely different. Some people see it as lying. I don't think he actually believes anything that comes out of his mouth in the first place. And if you don't believe anything that you're saying, you could never be accused of lying. This is a tactic that future politicians will attempt to master. So ABC, CBS, whoever it is, talking to people within the Trump administration and let out, somebody let slip this wonderful, wonderful little fact about Donald Trump. And what they said was Donald Trump cannot tell the difference between collusion and hacking. He thinks the hacking and the collusion are the same thing. And they have tried time and time again. This was what was inferred in this comment. They have tried time and time again to tell him, Mr. President, the interference in the election is not the collusion. Those are different things. And Trump doesn't get it. Now, there are two possible ways that I could read that I think are equally viable. One is charitable, one is not. The non-charitable view of Donald Trump's inability to tell the difference between Russian interference in our election and collusion. And let me set the plate on that as well. When we talk about collusion, and I think everybody in the audience is smart enough to get this, you know this, you understand this. But just to get everybody on the same page with this, when we talk about Russian interference with the election, we're talking about buying those Facebook ads, trying to get people to vote for Donald Trump or not come out for Hillary Clinton or whatever they were trying to do. We have the receipts. We know the Russians bought it. Okay? We know the name of the Russian organization that was behind all this. Interference in the election is also hacking. Somebody hacked the DNC. Somebody let all of John Podesta's emails out. And they were not flattering to Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who had to resign. They were not flattering to several senior advisors on the Hillary Clinton campaign. They were not flattering to the Democratic Party as a whole, because they revealed a tremendous amount of collusion between the Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee to prevent Bernie Sanders from being the nominee. That upset a lot of people. We wouldn't know about any of this. We speculated about it on this show, and others certainly did, raising the question of why Bernie seemed to be getting a raw deal. Well, the Russians or somebody sends all these emails to WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks publishes them, and all of a sudden we know what's going on. The fix was in for Hillary Clinton from the beginning. They were never going to give Bernie a fair shake. Now, if the Russians were involved in obtaining those emails, that's hacking. That's interfering with the election. The Russians interfered with the election. We all know this. The other thing that comes up is collusion. Now, to meet the standard of collusion, somebody within the Trump administration or the Trump election campaign, particularly somebody high up, Donald Trump, Donald Trump Jr., maybe Paul Manafort, maybe Ivanka, Steve Bannon. Somebody has to be sitting there directing the Russians to do this. Somebody has to be sitting there saying, hey, Russia, we think you're going to find some stuff over here. Or, hey, Russia, here's some passwords that we got for you. Or, hey, Russia, when you get your hands on those Podesta emails, send them our way before you publish them. Give us a heads up on what you got. Somebody needs to be talking to the Russians and either directing their activities or benefiting from them for it to be considered collusion. So we have two boxes in front of us. There is the box of Russian interference in the election, and there is the box of collusion. And what this White House source said to either ABC or CBS, whichever one it was, I don't recall, less important than the actual fact, is that they can't get Donald Trump to understand the difference between collusion, which is my campaign directed this, my campaign benefited from this, my campaign was heavily involved in this, and interference, which is the Russians did this thing. Now, as I said, there are two ways that I can, and they've tried with Donald Trump. They've tried over and over and over again to say, Mr. Trump, this is interference. This is collusion. And Donald Trump, I guess, just stares at them with a blank expression and then walks away. Now, as I said, there are two ways I can read this. One is charitable. One is not. I'll give you the not charitable version of this first. The not charitable version of Donald Trump's inability to separate Russian interference fact from Trump campaign collusion, totally unproven so far, is the guy just doesn't get it. He's just too dim to understand it. He doesn't know that those are different things because those thoughts are incapable of existing in his mind. And I won't rule that out as a possibility. Seems unlikely, but Donald Trump also doesn't strike me as a guy who looks at a lot of the fine details of things. Donald Trump is the bull in a china shop. And he's just kind of moving around from place to place. And if stuff gets knocked over, stuff gets broken, I wasn't here for that anyway. I don't care. Somebody else's problem. You know, here's $1,000. You know, get yourself a new pair of shoes. I'll see you later. I think that so a lot of people hold that view of Donald Trump, that bull in a china shop view. I think that's fair and reasonable. If that is your take on this president, if that is the conclusion that you come to, I will not argue with that. And that is one possible reason why he can't tell the difference between collusion and interference. The other reason is the charitable view. And it suggests that Donald Trump knows precisely what the difference between interference and collusion is. He knows exactly what it is. But he also knows that he has been subject to the most unfair treatment of any sitting president since Richard Nixon. Okay? George Bush Sr. or George Bush Jr. didn't get vilified by the media the way this guy has been. There may be, in Donald Trump's mind, and understand, it doesn't matter what anybody anywhere says to Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the final arbiter of what Donald Trump says. And it may be in Donald Trump's mind that if I say anything at all that supports the idea of Russian interference in our elections, if I accept it as a fact, if I say, yeah, this is a thing that happened, if I say, yeah, I think that's the way that went, they're going to crucify me for this. Everybody, all those people in the media, all those fake news people at the failing New York Times and CNN and MSNBC and all the rest of them, they're all going to come after me. And they're going to say Trump admits collusion. And he may not be wrong about that. He may not be wrong about that, because it's easy to see that happening. It is easy to see any kind of a statement that he makes about Russian interference with our election, about the investigation, being turned around against him. Because there is a whole cottage industry out there right now which just exists to bash Trump all day long. And the reason it exists is because they're making money doing it. Okay? CNN has fallen, by the way, to third place in the ratings. CNN is way behind MSNBC now because of their relentless Russia, 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 Russia. That's all it is. Russia, Russia, Russia. 24 hours a day. Russia, Russia, Russia. Be a school shooting. Russia, Russia, Russia. Like a bomb could go off in an airport somewhere. Russia, Russia, Russia. Hawaii, volcanoes are exploding. People are evacuating. Russia, Russia, Russia. That's all you get on CNN these days. That's it. And Don Lemon crying about something. That's their entire broadcast schedule. If you've seen it once in the last 4 months, you know it's the same thing every single night. So Donald Trump may be 100% right if he has this idea in his head that I can't acknowledge this in any way, shape, or form. Now, you may have seen on CNN, Russia, 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 they had a photograph of his statement after the Helsinki meeting, and he had written on it in Sharpie in giant letters, "There was no collusion." As if it's a reminder to himself, make sure to say there was no collusion. And maybe that's what he was talking about when he spoke about his meeting with Putin and his belief that Putin had nothing to do with it. Vladimir Putin, for his part, had something very interesting to say. Putin said he wanted Trump to win the election. Quote, because he talked about bringing the U.S.-Russia relationship back to normal, end quote, Putin said through a translator. If that isn't Vladimir Putin sticking his finger in the eye of the U.S. intelligence services, I don't know what is. This is Vladimir Putin. I wanted Donald Trump to win the election. That's what he said in Helsinki. Right after President Trump said, yeah, Russia didn't have anything to do with this. Russia, there's no reason to believe that, I don't believe that Russia would have been involved, is what he said. And then Putin follows it up. Yeah, I wanted Trump to win the election. The reason Putin wanted Trump to win the election is because Putin considered Hillary Clinton responsible for the Ukraine uprising. That's an important historical note in all of this. Putin blamed Hillary Clinton for the Ukraine uprising that drove Viktor Yanukovych, a democratically elected pro-Russian leader, out of Ukraine, and ultimately led to Russia annexing Crimea, also led to Russia shooting down a passenger jet, all the things that we've heard about from the Democrats in the last couple of days. Putin. I wanted Donald Trump to win the election. That's what he said. Finger in the eye of the CIA, finger in the eye of the FBI. So President Trump, in a rare moment, mark your calendars on this one, Wednesday, July 18th, 2018. Donald Trump, in a rare moment, actually walked back his statement. And he walked back his statement this afternoon in a press conference from the Oval Office in the White House. And here's some of what our president had to say.
I thought that I made myself very clear by having just reviewed the transcript. Now, I have to say, I came back and I said, what is going on? What's the big deal?
There you go. I came back and I said, what's going on? What's the big deal? I didn't say anything wrong. I said everything right, didn't I? No, you didn't, Mr. President.
So I got a transcript. I reviewed it. I actually went out and reviewed a clip of an answer that I gave.
I have all the best transcripts. All of the best transcripts. Our transcripts are second to none. Other nations are fearful of our transcripts. We have the greatest transcripts in the history of the world, and I am the one speaking on those transcripts.
And I realize that there is a need for some clarification.
Well, wait a minute. Some clarification? All right, so I'm not going to walk back what I said. I'm just going to say I didn't say what's on the transcript, or I didn't mean to say what was on the transcript.
It should have been obvious. I thought it would be obvious, but I would like to clarify just in case it wasn't. In a key sentence in my remarks, I said the word would instead of wouldn't. The sentence should have been, I don't see any reason why I wouldn't, or why it wouldn't be Russia.
I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be Russia, kids. No, I don't see any reason why it would be Russia. Those NTs, those little contractions get you every single time, Mr. President.
So, just to repeat it, I said the word would instead of wouldn't. And the sentence should have been, and I thought it would be maybe a little bit unclear on the transcript or unclear on the actual video. The sentence should have been, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be Russia. Sort of a double negative. So you can put that in, and I think that probably clarifies things pretty good by itself.
There you go. I have all of the best clarifications. All the times I misspeak are the greatest misspeaks of all time. Other nations are fearful of my misspeaks. Come on. You were standing... Let me tell you exactly what happened here. Donald Trump, over the weekend, on Saturday, Sunday, somewhere in there, met with Prime Minister Theresa May. And ahead of his meeting with Theresa May, there was an interview with Donald Trump released where he basically called her cowardly and weak and said not only was she wrecking Brexit, but that there was probably no U.S.-Britain trade deal going forward because she was accepting this soft Brexit. A couple hours later, when he's meeting with Theresa May, oh, she's the greatest. I said she's a great person. I don't know what everybody's getting all bent out of shape about. This is what this guy does. This is why I say he's a walking stream of consciousness. And ignorant of all the details. He walks into a room, he sees somebody, he's like, I'm going to get along with this person while we're together in the room, and I'm going to say nice things about you. Then he's going to walk out the door and he's going to say something else entirely. He's going to walk out of the meeting, he's going to walk away from the microphone with Putin and be like, that guy spied on our elections and he's the worst and I hate him. I don't see why it wouldn't be Russia. But standing next to Putin, I don't see why it would be Russia. Because Donald Trump does not want to have that conflict. And Donald Trump, in particular, does not want to have that conflict with that person with the cameras rolling. Trump isn't terribly good live, unscripted. He needs a little time to think about things and come up with his responses and come up with his quips. So you catch him in the moment and you catch him off guard. It happens a lot with President Trump. And that's a big part of what happened here. I can understand the United States president not wanting to have a scene, not wanting to get into a war of words with the president of Russia in Helsinki just after a summit meeting with the cameras rolling. That doesn't benefit anyone. And Donald Trump has some good reasons to want to work with Russia. The most obvious one is we have the ability to annihilate each other. Everyone knows this. Russia and the United States, between the two of us, we have more nuclear weapons than anybody else in the world. Nobody wants that. And, of course, what's lost in all of this that's been going on is what was talked about during the summit. Apparently, they talked about extending the Strategic Arms Limitation Treaty of 2009, which would be a good thing. Let's get rid of some more nuclear weapons. Let's stop pointing our nuclear weapons at each other. Let's have better communication between our countries. Let's have some economic cooperation between our countries. And here's another area where Donald Trump is all over the boards. Prior to meeting with NATO late last week in Europe, Donald Trump came out and criticized Germany for building a natural gas pipeline with Russia. Russia is going to supply a significant amount of natural gas to Germany. Russia already supplies a significant amount of natural gas to Northern Europe. Donald Trump sees this as weakness on Merkel's part, says you're caving into the Russians and you are becoming a puppet of the Russians because you're taking their natural gas. And then he goes and he has a nice meeting with Putin, and Putin's great, and Putin didn't hack our election. And I take Putin's word on everything. I love Putin. That's what he's saying. He's on both sides of this thing. And this is part of what Donald Trump does. Donald Trump is only interested in the audience that's right in front of him in that moment. He's not interested in what's going to happen down the road. He's not interested in what somebody's going to say to him about his comments a few hours later, because he's just going to dance around it. He's going to say, look, it's politics. This is what we do. This is the game. He's by no means the first politician to do this, but Donald Trump is the first president of the United States that I can remember who shifted positions so quickly on so many issues in such a short period of time. Whether we're talking about the natural gas pipeline and whether or not we should be doing anything with Russia or NATO should be doing anything with Russia, whether we're talking about whether Russia interfered in our election or not, whether we're talking about his attitude toward Theresa May, whether we're talking about his attitude toward Brexit, Donald Trump wound up on both sides of the coin for all of these things over the course of about 3 days, 4 days. That's impressive. Some of us have a hard time. Most people have a hard time keeping two competing thoughts in their head for any amount of time. Donald Trump's got competing thoughts about everything. And they're all coming out depending on what your outlet is. Of course, all of this is for show. All of this is staged. All of this is designed to get a reaction from someone. Donald Trump is trying to be friendly toward Russia. And Donald Trump, I believe, is smart enough to understand that the natural gas pipeline connecting Germany to Russia is a good thing. Because the best possible way that you can end a war is to find something that one party has that the other party needs and make an agreement to share it or to use it. Germany and Russia, you go back into the history of these two countries, Russia is terrified of Germany. Everyone in Europe's terrified of Germany. Okay? You can go back to the Roman era, everybody's terrified of Germany. Okay? The Germans were the big bad of Europe throughout history, throughout our written history. Germany periodically would invade Russia, would kill a bunch of Russians. There's an old Russian proverb that if you give a German a gun, he will use it to kill a Russian. That's how afraid they are of Germany. A country, by the way, that is about a quarter of their size. Terrifies Russia. Germany, for its part, is fearful of Russia. Because they see communism, they see Russian aggression, they see Russian expansionism, part of which is designed to keep Germany at bay. One of the reasons Russia did not want to let Poland become a free state back in the 1980s was because they wanted the buffer zone between Germany and Russia. They were fearful that Poland would roll over and just do whatever Germany wanted them to do, and then Germany would have a clear path to go invade Russia again. They're legitimately afraid of that. We downplay that when we talk about international politics, but these are real things. So Donald Trump, I think, is smart enough to get it. Is smart enough to get this idea that Germany and Russia, historic enemies. There's been cooperation since World War II. There's been cooperation since the 1980s, sure. But historic enemies. Embark on this project that will meet Germany's energy needs and provide revenue to Russia. That's a win for both countries. And the thing about that kind of an arrangement is that it creates an incentive for peace between those two nations. Because now, if one side or the other wants to go to war, Germany risks losing a major energy source that they need to power their infrastructure. Russia risks losing a major source of revenue. Same thing is true with the Northern Europe pipeline. We will remember, if we know our history, that the European Union began as an agreement between steel companies. A bunch of steel merchants in different countries got together in the 1950s, now 1953, and they said, you know what? War is bad for business. Every time we go to war, like we lose millions. How do we stop this from happening again? And the solution that they came upon was free trade between their nations. So the steel industry set up the forerunner of what would become the European Union and what would become the Schengen free trade zone. Because they realized, if we are economically connected to one another, even if we disagree with each other, we now have a powerful incentive not to go to war with each other. Because you're going to destroy your economy if you go to war with us. This is where the pipeline is beneficial. because it disincentivizes war between Russia and Germany. And I think Donald Trump gets this. But he's got to take a shot at Angela Merkel because Angela Merkel said something mean about him once. So it's, oh, you're on Russia's leash. That pipeline is Russia's leash to Germany, which he knows is going to get the Germans riled up, by the way. His supporters get all riled up. He knew Boris Johnson's supporters would get all riled up with the things that he said in the press about Theresa May and weak Brexit. This is what he's doing. You know, he's trying to have it both ways. He's trying to keep his supporters pumped up while at the same time making the concessions that you need to make to be an effective world leader. So it's a little bit of, you know, hey, nothing in my hand, nothing up my sleeve. And there are good reasons for us to want to work with Russia. Obviously, as I mentioned, the nuclear issue is huge. But there's another thing in all of this. And as I've said on this show many times before, 855-915-9636, telephone number, WMFO Medford. As I've said on this show many times before, I believe Donald Trump sees the world through a balance sheet. And if you are a businessman who sees the world through a balance sheet, when you look at the world and you look at Europe, you say, mature market, nothing more we're going to do there. You look at China and you say, aggressive up-and-coming competitor. We need to keep an eye on them. Let's not get in too deep with these guys because I think they're coming for us. You look at Russia and you say, untapped opportunity. We're not really doing anything with it. We don't have any trade with Russia. We have cooperation with Russia. There is some trade between the United States and Russia, but certainly nothing on the level of what we have with Canada or what we have with Europe. And Russia and the United States have kind of a vested interest in working together because both of them face the same problem, which is China. China is the ascendant power. China wants to be a superpower. Russia wants to reclaim its status as a superpower. And part of what Trump did in his speech in Helsinki is give Vladimir Putin that moment. And the Europeans were much more aware of this and talked about this a great deal more than the Americans did. They called Helsinki a victory for Putin because Donald Trump spoke of Russia and Putin in the terms that he would speak of a superpower and basically re-legitimized Russia's position as a superpower. He threw the U.S. intelligence community under the bus and the American people under the bus to do that. That's unacceptable. And his reasons for doing this, again, there are two ways that you can look at this fact that came out of a journalist speaking to Trump officials, that he cannot tell the difference between collusion and Russian interference in the election. Either he just doesn't get it, guy's not that bright, or he gets it and he knows better than to say anything about it in public. Because the media is going to destroy him. They're going to twist his words. Mueller's going to be calling up the next day saying, hey, come on over. You agree there was Russian interference. Why don't you come on over here and answer some questions for me and tell me what's going on here? Trump has a vested interest in not admitting that there was any kind of interference for that reason. But he also helps to make Russia look good and may score some political points with Putin by making Russia look good and by saying, you know what? I'm okay with Russia. You know, this is a powerful nation. We need to be friends with them. And we do. And we need to remember that we do, if only so that we can keep the risk of nuclear war at bay. If you're a millennial, if you are younger than millennial, you don't know. You don't remember what it was like growing up in the Cold War because there was no Cold War. You don't remember nuclear attack drills. You don't remember fallout shelters. You don't remember keeping a 2-week supply of food and water in your house in the cellar in case you had to hide out for a while. You don't remember watching the day after and crapping your pants and being terrified for the next week. That was the world that we used to live in when the United States and Russia were enemies. We do not want to go back to that. We absolutely do not want to go back to that. And the way that we avoid going back to that is to find ways to cooperate with each other. Now, is that possible in the current environment? To some extent, Donald Trump's desire to dance around this issue of Russian interference is all about diffusing that. Because Donald Trump is sitting there saying, look, I want to fix things with Russia. I want to have a relationship with the Russians. The media won't let me do it. The Democrats won't let me do it. Everybody's accusing me of being a co-conspirator here. And I think somewhere in his mind, he thinks, if I stand up in Helsinki and say, I believe Putin, all this goes away. No, that's not the way it works, Mr. President. And walking back your statement by saying, well, I meant to say wouldn't when I said would, is not fooling anybody either. You're not getting off on this one that easily. But like so much else in the Trump presidency, this too shall pass. And Donald Trump will be back with something else to entertain and confuse us in the not too distant future. I hope this is the last really, really huge mistake that we see from this president. 18 months in, I know it's not. I know there's more coming.
No, why? There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
If you are on vacation this week, you have my envy. Next few days are going to be gorgeous. Next few days are going to be beautiful. Tonight, we get rid of the humidity. And temperatures are going to drop down to the low 60s in the city of Boston. Low 50s. If you're inland or out in some of those cooler suburbs, nice. Tomorrow, Friday, beautiful, perfect summer days. Highs Thursday in the mid-70s. Highs Friday around 80 degrees. Lows in the 60s downtown, 50s in the suburbs both nights. If you were at the coast, if you were in the mountains, wherever you happen to be, perfect, perfect, perfect summer weather. Saturday, not too shabby. Mostly cloudy skies. Highs in the low 70s. Lows again in the mid-60s to the 50s Saturday night. Sunday, well, if you're driving home from vacation, you don't mind. It's going to rain. High in the mid-60s. Lows around 70 degrees on Sunday night. And then on Monday, scattered thunderstorms. High around 80 degrees. Low in the mid-70s. Things that the plants like. And we will take some weather that the plants like. The grass is far too brown. The rain is more than welcome. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. It is The Big Picture. I am Derek Gary. I will be with you until 9 o'clock tonight. When On the Town with Mikey D will come in here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene.
He has acknowledged Russian interference.
We've already heard from President Trump enough tonight, I believe. No more Trump talk for the rest of the night. I promise you that. Coming up in a little bit, we're going to take a look at John Schnatter and what's going on with John Schnatter. He's the Papa John's guy. And I'm going to give you a piece of information about this that may change your mind about what's happened with Mr. Schnatter. You may have heard this morning that he has had second thoughts about resigning from the board of directors. And he should. Not because what he said was defensible, but for another reason that is possibly equally important. I'm going to tell you what that is right after this. This goes out to the President of the United States of America.
Meow, bird goes tweet and mouse goes squeak, cow goes moo, frog goes croak, and the elephant goes toot, duck say quack, and fish go blub, and the seal goes ow, 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 but there's one sound that no one knows. What does the fox say? Say. Suddenly you're standing still. Your fur is red.